The history of salvation begins with an immigrant. In the first reading from Genesis 12, Abraham receives God's covenant promise, and we have to read this together with the chapter before, Genesis 11. There, we are told that Abraham's father had a dream of looking for a better life, so he set out for Canaan, but he never made it. We don't know why he never made it. We only know that he died in Haran. But then years later, the Lord called Abraham to leave Haran to go where? To the place his father had dreamed of going. So God's call comes to fulfill the dream of this family for a better life. The promise to Abraham and the covenant that God makes with Abraham based on that promise is the decisive beginning of the history of salvation. Abraham receives the covenant promise from God. I will bless you, and all the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. Divine revelation to this day continues to guide the development of humanity, and the unity of humanity will be achieved ultimately through connection to the people of God, which grow out of Abraham. All three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, trace themselves to this decisive moment of divine revelation in the covenant with Abraham. The important thing here is God's desire to bless all the communities of the earth. As Christians, we understand God's desire as expressed through the church, which the Vatican Council tells us is the sacrament of union with God and the unity of humanity. The original disciples of Jesus have a brief vision of the realization of this promise in the Transfiguration. We should see Jesus' baptism and transfiguration as a sort of a frame around the first part of his ministry. And it is the voice from heaven that unites these two events. In the baptism, Jesus places himself in solidarity with all human persons caught in what we know as the condition of sin. And in the Transfiguration, Jesus gives the troubled disciples a glimpse of the glory of the image of God in the human person, free from sin. That is the goal of salvation. Jesus takes them up a mountain, and there he appears with the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah shared an experience that no one else in the Old Testament had. They both stood in the presence of God on mountains and lived. When anyone came into the direct presence of God in the Old Testament, they died. Their sinfulness was overcome by the holiness of God, and they were zapped out of existence, all except Moses and Elijah. So when the disciples see Jesus with Moses and Elijah and hear the voice of God from the cloud, they are very much afraid. They are very much afraid of dying because they think they're in the presence of God and they know that they're not ready for it. But then something else happens. Jesus touches them and says, "Rise and do not be afraid." Jesus fills them with confidence that God has no desire to judge them. Jesus gives them a vision of what he's going to accomplish in Jerusalem, the beginning of a new age in which we are able to approach God in complete trust, confidence in God's love for us. Jesus himself appears in light. And this is not Jesus showing or proving that he is God. That is something that cannot be known until after the resurrection. This is Jesus showing what we can become as we grow in union with God and are filled more and more with God's Spirit. We will become filled with light. We will become light for the world, the beginning of a new united humanity, the goal of salvation history. As Pope Francis is always reminding us, everything is about mission. The church does not have a mission. The mission has a church. And the church is the people of God who are missionary disciples. Lent is a time when we are called to prepare to engage our mission more fully. Lent is a time to clear out of the way anything that is standing in the way of our mission. To be effective witnesses to the gospel, we must be as mature as we can as men and women created in the image of God. So Lent is not about denying ourselves pleasure. It's not about penalizing ourselves from having enjoyed things the rest of the year. Lent is about asking ourselves if we really are light for the mission. When people see us, do they see the hope of being transfigured by Jesus? Do they see someone who has been transformed by God and is growing with God? Or do they see somebody whose life is no better than their own? Are we falling back into seeking pleasurable experience as a substitute for the deeper, more meaningful life that we could have as disciples of Jesus? What would we have to do to seek that deeper meaning? Maybe spend less time comparing our lives with other people on Facebook or Instagram and more time sharing with the family? Maybe spending less time in front of a screen and more time in prayer and reading the Bible? Unless you read the Bible on your cell phone, of course, that would be the exception. When people see us, do they see the hope of being transfigured in Jesus? Do they see someone who is competing to get ahead or to get what they want? Or do they see someone who follows Jesus in solidarity with the needs of those around us? Do they see us as people of peace and dialogue who rise above the nastiness of political debates and gossip? These are the kinds of questions to ask during Lent. And they are questions not only of what we want to take away, but questions really of what we want to put into our life. The transfiguration is not something that happens to Jesus because he is God. It is not something that happens only to Jesus' inner circle of disciples. The transfiguration is a vision of what God wants to do with everybody, to make us shine forth as men and women created in the image of God. The promise to Abraham is not just a story to be argued over by scholars of different religions. It is the beginning of a project of the unification of humanity. And sadly, it is a project that is sometimes degenerated into violence and division, but God's promise still remains. And if we commit ourselves to take our part in this mission, we will contribute in our own small way to the unity of humanity.